Welcome to the Tech 37 podcast, your source for technology, education, and collaboration from worldwide technology. Today's show is sponsored by Dell Technologies and Intel. My name is Rob Boyd. Today's topic is a big one, SDDC, that's software-defined data center. It's not a product or technology you can buy, but it is, I would argue, where you should be moving your organization. See, a well-implemented solution combines a software-defined infrastructure with automation and orchestration to deliver services predictably and reliably. And that one statement may sound like the Holy Grail, because of course, this is what everyone strives for. So then why are so many of you hesitant to move this direction? I hear you. I mean, it's easy to talk about these things. It's completely different to actually make big changes within a production network. So today, we're going to ask our experts to explain how this might actually work and make sure that the challenges are acknowledged along with the benefits. This is a great conversation, once again with a group of really smart people to guide us. All right, guys, we obviously have a big panel today, appropriate for the subject. So let's run through some introductions here real quick, though. Next to me, I should say, we've got James Harless from Worldwide Technology, Solutions Architect. Thank you so much for joining us. Also, Sean Hicks from Worldwide Technology on the show with me again. That's becoming a pattern, but I like it. Shannon Berry, one of our sponsors from Dell Technologies. Appreciate you taking the time to join us. And of course, Robert Looney from Intel. Robert, glad to have you. All right, guys. So here's the question. We're talking SDDC. So let's start with the basics, and I'll start with you, James. What is SDDC? How do you define it?
Yeah. So software defined data center is kind of an aspirational principle as opposed to a strict definition. It's really not something you can buy, but in principle, what it is a virtualization of the compute network and storage layers, and then building a data center model around that. So we're moving to a model that is less focused on buying hardware specifically for projects and then having those assets tied into those particular projects, and more to a model that can be consumed on demand.
Okay, well, let's stay on this definition for a moment, because one of the things I always like to arrive at is what something is not. But in general, what I'm also hearing is this is somewhat aspirational in terms of somewhere to go. But I don't know if that applies to everybody in our audience equally. Who can weigh in on software-defined data center and its appropriate as a goal? How appropriate is it for maybe certain industries, or is it something everybody should be going for?
Well, Rob, you see, software-defined data center as kind of an operating model, if you will, is an abstraction above proprietary hardware and the islands of skill sets that have developed in the data center over time. It's really a model that can exist, in various formats. And we see a lot of popularity with cloud, with public cloud in particular. And what companies may or may not realize is that when they're adopting things like AWS, and they're adopting things like Azure and Google Cloud, they are adopting a software-defined data center model. They're adopting that cloud provider's SDDC.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that brings up an interesting angle on it. I'm sorry, go ahead. Who was that?
Yeah, it was Robert. Yeah, from that perspective, it's very much in keeping with that. What are the aspirational goals of moving to a software-defined data center or software-defined enterprise is, I know I need compute. I know I have storage resources. I know I have network limitations and needs. I even have security needs. How do I express those all where they're not isolated from each other? They're not necessarily managed as independent stacks all the time as they kind of grew up. How do I allow the kind of closer to unfettered resource of bringing those, constituting those together for an application or a VM through software? It's not somebody running through the data center pulling wires, right?
Yeah.
It's clicks and policies driving the utilization of the resources. We often describe software defined as pools of resources that are put together and somehow orchestratable to serve the application, and then at the enterprise level, at full data center level.
Well, let me pose this question to Shannon, actually. Sorry, I'm going to just jump in right here. Because Shannon, you can reflect on anything you want, but the starting question is just, I want to get a solid feel for what does the data center look like that's not software enabled? I want to make sure we understand how to recognize where we are now in most situations that need maybe a change.
Yeah, no, it's a great question for a compare and contrast standpoint. A traditional data center has historically been made up of three tiers of siloed infrastructure. You've got your compute layer, you've got your networking layer, and you've got your storage layer. And those are usually or historically have been completely separate components or elements or pieces of hardware that have different teams that are responsible inside the organization for, you know, managing and orchestrating those. And that's led to a lot of inefficiencies, which is one of the reasons why public cloud has been so quickly adopted. Because, like, you know, like the rest of the panel has indicated, you're adopting a software-defined data center when you go to public cloud, whether you want to or not. All of those different elements that are, you know, the hardware pieces of it really become irrelevant, and companies are looking for an outcome. Software-defined data center delivers those types of outcomes on the customer's premise with incredible levels of automation and also some pretty compelling financial considerations as well.
But you're not saying that all we got to do to get to SDDC is simply move everything to a public cloud provider?
No, I would never. I certainly wouldn't say that. There are limitations. I mean, application dependencies, cost factors, data gravity. I think that there's clearly a place for public cloud. I mean, it certainly wouldn't have been adopted the way that it has been. But there's also a place for software-defined data center. I mean, one of the kind of key tenets that we have in Dell Technologies is that cloud is not a destination or a location. It's an operating model. And that's really the same kind of conversation about SDDC. It's about the operations model and what the outcomes are that customers are trying to accomplish. It's kind of irrelevant, the place that it happens.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. So SDDC is definitely the foundational layer for building that cloud operating model. You know, why are the cloud providers so popular? It's because of the cloud operating model. It's because of the popularity of things like elasticity and agility and self-service, the ability to do metering, and all of those things, you know, rely on some underlay of, an SDDC, if you will. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is, you know, for reasons mentioned, right, various reasons, there's still a number of applications and the data that still is on-prem, and it's not going to go to the cloud anytime soon. So how do we get all of those things that have made public cloud so popular? How do we extract that from our own private cloud environment? And the idea behind that is we need to start with that same kind of idea of an underlayment.
Okay. Well, before we dig into that further, I do want to highlight the fact. So this is going to be a two-part series. So today we're focused really on the business side, and which is a lot of the why, and making sure we define this stuff correctly and hopefully build some momentum towards the fact that obviously I think we all would agree that a software-defined data center is something we want to move towards. But I just want to call it out that there will be a part two if someone feels like, God, these guys are just really avoiding the how do I do this question. But so with that understanding, I also want to highlight the fact that you guys were taught me this kind of as we were getting ready for this. But this notion of this is not just about technology in the sense that this is really, there's reasons why organizations have not all already moved to something that ostensibly feels like it's better, because it's a big transformational change from an organizational culture, I believe, if I'm wording that correctly. What is meant by that? What are some of the things, in fact, let's just do it this way. What are some of the things that are holding people back from having done this? You know, why haven't it already been done?
So I think that a lot of it just has to do with organizations continuing on with their current direction.
Yeah.
And I think that's really why public cloud came in and was so easy, because you can basically change directions of the IT organization by outsourcing it to Amazon or Microsoft or whatnot. Sure. And really adopting SDDC means in principle challenging some of those things inside of your own organization that have their own momentum. So for example, currently, a lot of organizations buy hardware, compute hardware, storage hardware, networking hardware per project, and they assign that gear to that individual project. And that is the exact opposite of an SDDC, where we're going to buy a large pool of hardware. We're going to think of the data center as a unit. We're going to, you know, parse it out individually to projects as they come in, but we're going to use virtual constructs, virtual networking segments, virtual security constructs, virtual storage constructs, to parse that out to our business units and to our projects. And that trickles all the way up into finance. How do we purchase this stuff? How do we fund it? How do we do money moving back and forth between business units? And so those ideas are very difficult.
Yeah, James is dead on correct on that. If if growing a part of your business meant I need to see the whole 5-year projected growth of that business so I can go sit down with finance and figure out how I'm going to amortize the cost of this new sand purchase over that 5 years, you never start the business, right? Yeah. Versus if I'm using kind of my common hardware infrastructure building blocks and I can orchestrate your needs as you grow, right? Not having to buy the 5-year up in advance, right? I can allow the business to grow on top of my software-defined data center infrastructure's capabilities.
I got to think too that one benefit that the cloud organizations, it feels like has over, say, a traditional business is the fact that they figured out this model from a kind of a greenfield type approach, whereas all of our customers are already up and running in a model that may not be perfect, but yet they're familiar with it and it's operating, you know, it's in 24 hours a day and that kind of thing. But I cut somebody off there.
I'm glad you put that out there because that's, you know, transitions nicely into what I was about to add to those comments, which is basically, we have a problem with value, with how we assess value in our organization. You know, we have generations of people who had it beaten into their skull that their value is in the busy work, the day-to-day stuff that's really not valuable to the organization. You know, taking somebody who's a highly compensated IT professional, say a network engineer, and having them crawl around with the dust bunnies to run cable, it's not bringing value to the organization. It's busy work, right? It's something they can point to and say, I did that. But that's not what your company actually hired you for. Your company hired you to innovate, to do architecture, to make decisions around security, and all of these things that we would be able to do if we could just let go of some of that that busy work and some of that, you know, that whole idea of my skill set and kind of guarding my space. This is my fiefdom. You know, tearing down silo walls and going towards a model where we're all working together towards the organizational goals, having that communicated from the top down so that we're all fully aware of how our jobs best achieve that.
Right.
And then that whole 80-20 model, right? Trying to use some of our time to innovate and win back time from the old just stay busy all the time model of work to actual innovation and actually doing new and interesting things for the organization.
Well, does an SDDC actually assist with being able to see the value creation happening in that way a bit better, or are you just saying it's an impediment to moving towards it because there's stuff built in where we have trouble valuing it? But does it actually get easier if you get through there?
It's fundamental. Where I would give you this is an internal IT example, public knowledge. We embarked upon the SDN, software-defined networking, side of our transition about a decade ago, right? Gig to 10 gig to 40 gig on our way to 100 gig across the network, right? But adding the software-defined operations on top of that has really changed things to the point where that gets us into the point where we can say, listen, we're making our people more productive because we've torn down some of the boundaries. In the software-defined data center construct, we're working more as a team to the point where IT can express, in our size, $2.8 billion in cost avoidance, right? Versus if we'd had to go get that on the open market from, say, public cloud, we could actually build up our capabilities, build up the infrastructure behind it, build up the practices. So we're just operating a better environment. We don't have $2.8 billion more to operate IT,
right?
But we can show that cost avoidance.
So the budgets still don't go up, no matter what we call it. The budgets aren't going to get any. Okay, this isn't a bad answer.
I think that what everybody's kind of touching on is, you know, doing business as usual is a huge obstacle to innovation. When we look at organizations, IT organizations, spending 70% of their man hours just doing things that are below the value line, keeping the lights on, doing patches, and reading hardware compatibility lists. I can't tell you how many organizations I've seen where key strategic initiatives or application releases have been delayed and pushed out time and time again simply because IT wasn't able to respond quickly enough. Software-defined data center, through the automation that it introduces, clears the road and allows innovation really to take off in organizations to accomplish what their objectives are.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, guys, here's one thing I want to tackle. And this is based on One place I go to for knowledge, which I encourage everybody watching this to do, is WWT.com, which is the platform, as I think I've heard it referred to generically behind the scenes. But you can go on there and you can search for more information on these topics, as well as some labs and such like that, which we'll talk about in a moment, as well as on the next episode. But in that vein, I came across a couple of really good articles by our own James Harless right here on the call with us. And James, one of the things that I like that you did was there was an article that you wrote or helped write or something, six challenges to address when preparing for SDDC. So if we go into the assumption, and this is for everybody, it's just I'm crediting James with, of course, having published this. But in that, I want to go through each of these and kind of get your feelings, each of you, on this type of thing as needed. But number one was on the six challenges to be aware of that we kind of touched on this. One, breaking the silos. What do we mean by that? Let's make sure we've nailed that one down.
Yeah, so largely in that article, what we're talking about when we refer to silos are the silos inside of IT, which separate networking from storage, from compute teams. Those silos, I think of them as being very vertical. And they're basically structures within IT to support vertical environments, but they don't really overlap very well. So we don't necessarily make design decisions about our network that would support a better storage infrastructure. So we're talking about tearing those down. We're talking about supporting a platform that is all of those things, as all of our platforms are today. But instead of thinking of them as siloed units, we're going to merge those concepts together and put teams together to support that foundation. And they're responsible for that platform as opposed to just network availability.
Okay, so these are some of the traditional silos we've been breaking down. Yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say, Shannon?
No, I was going to say that I think that James brought out really a critical point in that article. When talking about breaking down that, you know, what I call internal inertia, it really requires strong executive leadership. Because the people in the trenches that are executing on, you know, on their day-to-day tasks, they need to know that it's okay for them to be able to work together and to collaborate and, you know, even have some gentle pushing from executives, because, you know, they're used to doing what they're used to doing and they're very comfortable with it. Without some sort of a change catalyst, which really is just leadership, it becomes very, very difficult. So I thought it was great for him to call that out, because it really is key to being able to break down those silos.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think, and that's going to come up again here, I think, in this. Let's go to number two, and obviously other than James can comment here, just because he wrote the article. Number two is setting appropriate objectives. That kind of blends into what you were saying there, Shannon, but what do we mean by setting appropriate objectives? What would be an example of that, perhaps?
Well, I mean, from my perspective, I always think about objectives as far as outcomes. What is it that the organization is trying to accomplish? And having clear definition of those really is foundational to what type of software-defined platform you're going to choose, what the software layer is going to be, what the virtualization layer is going to be, what the hardware pieces are that's going to go behind that. Because there is no one-trick pony. There's no one solution that's going to be best in every single circumstance. So it kind of goes back to Stephen Covey. Begin with the end in mind. Yeah. Have your objectives clearly defined, because that's going to create the framework for all of the decisions that you make as you kind of step through the process.
Well, it's interesting because you mentioned software and hardware. Number three is prioritizing the software platform. And obviously, this is called a software-defined data center, so software doesn't exist without hardware, but at the same time, sounds like we've got a reprioritization, whereas me, from my Cisco background, love the hardware stuff, can't get enough of the hardware stuff. Obviously, software is where it's at, applications are where it's at, it's serving the end users and making sure they get what they need and being flexible with that. But let me ask you this, Sean, so prioritizing the software platform, what does that mean to you, and what are the pros and cons of doing that appropriately?
Well, really, it means standardizing your platform. So, you know, when we built out these hardware models, and as James pointed out earlier, they were mostly built out in project-based type procurement models where, you know, I need to get this particular application rolled out, so I get some money dedicated to that application, we buy a bunch of stuff, we build it, and then that becomes its own little island of skill sets in our data center. What we're talking about with software-defined data center is moving to a model where resources are pooled and provisioned on demand, and even metered, so that there can be interdepartmental billing or even external billing if necessary. And by doing that, you know, we're moving to a more, I would say, standardized model of deployment where we can more easily take advantage of things like APIs and automation, you know, achieve quicker time to market, achieve, you know, less fat fingering, less human error. You know, I mean, how much time do we spend troubleshooting, you know, because somebody made a change to one firewall rule in one part of the network somewhere out there. And then how long does it take to roll that change back out and go back to, you know, to operational? You know, that's the old way of doing things. And right. And through this layer of abstraction, what we're trying to do is move towards that model of automation and agility. But automation loves standards. It loves things to look the same, feel the same. And that's not what happens when we have a hardware-focused approach to building out our data center.
Yeah. And the hardware guy here, we try to look at it like, well, there are standards for this, right?
Yeah.
The software-defined data center essentially runs on x86, right? You abstract it by virtualizing its resources, its compute, its storage, its network, and even its security. But you have an operating model, essentially. When my kids built their first PCs, right, they learned what the components are and what the operating system does to that PC to hand out the resources to the appropriate applications. Software-defined data center is somewhat similar type of a construct. It's just your PC is the whole data center, right? And all of those resources still have to be called upon, you know?
Yeah.
If you want security across all things, fine. Make it a capability in software that's expressed across the compute, the storage, and the network on that in that system, the software-defined data center. And then I think the next level where we're headed is extending the software-defined data center, the enterprise, also to connecting to clouds in the future.
Yeah, because it should be seamless. That's the dream. Yeah. It shouldn't matter where the workload's located. It should be simple to put it where the resource is needed and where it's most cost effective to some of what Sean is saying as well. And I don't want to take it too far, but Sean, you're not talking, or maybe you are, because I can't remember if this was ever resolved, but it seems like we've gone back and forth in the industry for years talking about IT becoming not an expense department, but a revenue generator, you know, and part of doing that is, you know, IT's forever complaining for good reason that we don't get the investment, you know, and then it gets hard to say, well, your investment here does this, and you could do it on a project basis if you're allocating physical resources to something. But when you're talking about the entire infrastructure being able to be carved up and allocated appropriately, boy, you solve that. It feels like you're now in the executive seat. You're at the table,
yeah,
able to make decisions for the business, right?
No, we've heard for the last several decades people saying things like IT is a necessary evil. You know, God, that it's a money pit. You know, or you know, all these various things that have been said over time that have led to this. I would say in the last few years, the thing that we hear over and over and over again from customers, if data center is not their core business, is I want out of the data center business, right? I don't care about racks. I don't care about power and cooling. I don't care about cabling. What I care about is my applications and getting service to my customers, whether they're internal or external, as quickly as possible. And, you know, what IT has struggled with is, one, doing that in a time-efficient manner.
Right.
And two, being able to prove back to the business that, you know, they do have value and they are providing value to the business. I would say there's a break in communication somewhere where over the years, IT professionals have really landed at a point where I would say 90% of the people I talk to in this industry don't actually know how their job contributes to the company's bottom line or strategic initiatives or objectives.
Mm.
And that's a break in communication. You know, we were talking earlier, yeah, about how it starts at the top with executive sponsorship and that commitment to doing things in a new direction. And part of that is getting everybody on board with the idea that IT is yet another part of this business. They're a business partner, not a necessary evil, a business partner in what we're trying to achieve. And they're here to enable us, and they can prove to us the value that they're bringing to the conversation.
And to the point that Sean made earlier, yeah, one thing that has to happen in order for that to happen is we have to get some of our smartest guys away from crawling around in the data center, dragging cables, right? We need those guys to liaison between the IT department, between the business directly to help understand what services need to be provided.
No, that's so interesting because
focusing on software instead of hardware.
Yeah. And you're talking about highest and best use, because I think
that's something we want to encourage an organization. But I love the fact you're bringing up stuff that hopefully as an individual, it reminds me to always go back. We all need to understand what value we add to whatever we're involved in. On one hand, it's a leadership issue above us. But at the same time, we need to take it upon ourselves to make sure we can define that. Because to me, that's the route to employment. What I call not job security, but employment security. Because if you know where you can add value, you're going to be valuable everywhere because you can go add that value if it's not appreciated where you're at. But that's a different conversation. Sorry, guys. Number four, because it bleeds into this a little bit, is understanding the cost savings associated with SDDC. So we talk a little bit about revenue models and the ability to kind of see as we divide this up when we're in a more cloud-oriented model, what kind of cost savings are possible here when you're kind of on the other side of making this kind of jump?
So it is a very difficult question to answer for customers. Sometimes we get the question, hey, can you sum up how much money I'm going to save by moving to an SDDC? And that's very difficult because some of that involves understanding what money you're wasting today. How much money is wasted while your business is waiting for IT?
Just ask them for that list. Where's that list of stuff you're wasting?
Yeah. You show me all the stuff you're wasting and I can.
Yeah.
Projects that aren't getting done.
It's right next to the network map. Yeah.
So that's the bulk of it, is really understanding. The other part we've talked on a little bit is kind of wasting our people, you know, wasting resources on, yeah, on some of our best and brightest people that are sitting in some of the most obscure parts of our organization doing little in the way of value. And then, so we look at – a lot of times people will look at that investment that's required around software-defined data center and have a difficult time grasping it. So it is important to get executive sponsorship, and let's dive into this and try to build a model that explains how this works. Obviously, if hardware-defined data center were better, Amazon and Azure and Google would look a whole lot different today.
I would assume that when you're also not saying, just but correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not saying that cost savings is what you would use to go sell this at an organization. Because it's, you wouldn't want to build it on, oh, think of the money you're going to save, like we've done with some other technologies, specific technologies
part,
in the past.
It's part of it, right? It's a requirement, cost neutral generally for budgets. So cost efficiency is helpful, but the parts around software-defined data center that really hunt are when you start talking about your versatility that your software-defined data center is going to offer the business, the ability to have a consistency across how you deploy one data center versus the other. If you needed to, in the future, express your software-defined needs into other resources, God forbid there be a problem in the market or in the world, and you can't get to your data center, so to speak, you can't rack and stack quick enough, can I express a policy that takes my software-defined data center enterprise strategy to utilize a resource that's not in your data center? So there's versatility behind moving to this path, right? You can't take big iron storage administrator and say, hey, can you go help me out in the public cloud with that right now? It's not there.
We see that a lot in with procurement teams, right? The big flashy number that's always right in front of them and that they're trying to attack is, you know, what's it going to take to acquire the solution, to acquire the technology to accomplish this outcome. And what James was mentioning, it's harder to measure the cost savings, because the cost savings come operationally. They come, in the same way we want to achieve these like pay-as-you-go models. What's funny is that's exactly how our costs arrive, right? They arrive as we go. The big costs in operating are things like power and cooling, real estate if you're co-locating, the operational waste of having very, very smart, highly compensated employees doing fairly menial tasks. Mm-hmm. All of that combines, over the lifespan of equipment. Let's say you spend $1 million on some servers and a storage array, and it has a 5-year life expectancy for your organization. Well, stretch that $1 million out over 5 years, and then stretch out the salaries, benefits, power, cooling costs, and all of that over the same 5-year stretch. And the solution to implement SDDC was not the big expense. The big expense was, any of the operational waste that your organization was seeing through a lack of efficient use of resources, lack of efficient use of personnel time. All of these things really add up and cost you more than you know in the end. And I would say most organizations don't know how to calculate those real costs.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I think what to add on to that, I think what was kind of interesting along there is when you're thinking about those costs, Again, the finance department's purchasing, they're used to purchasing a single project. And so when you come to them with a bigger, more aspirational goal like software-defined data center, you might start at a cost of 4 or 5 times what an individual project might cost, right? But you're going to provide resources for 8 or 10 projects that are yet to be defined, that are still out in the future. So, yeah. So that kind of mind shift is really difficult as well.
Well, and there's, so I want to be conscious of the fact we just got about 6 minutes left in this conversation if we stick to our theme of Tech 37 here, in which we should. But the last two in the article that James wrote, remember, this is the 6 challenges to address when preparing for SDDC. But the last two, and I'm going to put them together and we can comment as needed here, but treating it as a greenfield environment and then adapting to the rapid pace of private cloud. Two of those, they're not necessarily related. I just want to make sure we get them out before we run out of time. But comments on this greenfield environment from anyone?
Well, I think that this is one area, after taking a look at that, that James and I might potentially disagree. So
ooh, I like that.
I'd like for us to kind of hash it out a little bit here. Conceptually, yeah, the new infrastructure and software for the software-defined data center would likely be a greenfield. But I think that in a lot of organizations, when you think about greenfield, you're thinking about specifically new applications and new workloads. And that's not necessarily exactly where SDDC has to live. One of the benefits about software-defined data centers is the ability to be able to start small and scale out as you need to move more workloads over, or you need to be able to deliver more services to your, you know, to your customers. So I wouldn't want to pigeonhole SDDC specifically just to greenfield in the concept of new applications and new workloads. SDDC can start that way, but it can also be a great landing zone, a great migration space for existing workloads as they're, you know, as deemed appropriate. So greenfield to a certain extent, but also I don't think that we should look past brownfield, because I think that there is value for organizations. A lot of those legacy workloads are where customers are spending a tremendous amount of their time trying to keep the lights on. And if we can simplify that through automation, that's where we're going to start to see a lot of the TCO, a lot of the cost reduction come from.
Well, James.
Yeah, and I think we should be careful about terms like greenfield, brownfield, because a lot of it will have to do with what layer you're talking about, right? If we're talking about the underlying physical infrastructure, because even though we're talking about abstracting things to a software layer, there's still hardware running underneath the covers, right? We're not sure. Foolish and being completely getting rid of that aspect. But the idea is that, you know, a lot of the solutions that enable this type of operating model, a lot of solutions that enable SDDC, were actually designed to run on top of any, you know, as Intel's right here on the call with us, any x86 infrastructure, right? So the idea was that, you know, I could reuse existing infrastructure. So maybe that's, you know, so when we talk about greenfield, we're talking about building out something entirely different, but that's very hardware level conversation.
Well,
if we start talking about other areas like skill sets, right, or we start talking about things like the underlayment, the SDDC itself, right? So where we use these terms, greenfield and brownfield, I think we have to pay attention to what part of the stack we're talking about in terms of people, process, and technology.
So we've got 3.5 minutes left, and I just want to say, though, I have a feeling James would agree with both of you, because, you made great points, but I think James' specific point in the article, if I interpreted correctly, is the fact that you don't want to treat it as a greenfield environment. That would be a mistake that many people he has seen in his experience make. James, am I putting you on the right track there, or no?
So I agree with mostly what was said. Largely, my experience is that most of the time when customers are talking about software-defined data center, most of the time they're looking for a private cloud or an IaaS or a SaaS outcome.
Yeah.
So they have this kind of specific goal that they're building towards, and SDDC is the foundational layer there. And so with that in mind, when I'm talking about greenfield in the article, what I was largely referring to is the hardware. Sean makes a great point about the people and process. That's absolutely not going to be greenfield. We're going to brownfield that part of the organization for sure. But what I would recommend customers do is do put a new environment up in the corner of the data center and do build a team. Could be dot matrixed in from your other teams, right? You could pull somebody from network, pull somebody from storage, somebody from compute. But do assemble that team, particularly if your outcome that you're focusing on is private cloud. Do try to give them their own hardware and their own kind of corner of the data center, because what happens when you go into a data center and you say, hey, we've got 10,000 servers here. Oh, they're all virtualized. We're going to just start layering SDDC on top of this.
Not in my data center. Yeah.
It's not going to line up. Right? You're going to have all kinds of problems. And particularly if that team is trying to build a platform, now they're interfering with production applications. You got to give them a place where they can grow this environment, and they have to be able to build an automation engine where they can ingest service requests and kind of pump those out. So.
That's a good point, because we've actually seen customers do this with their public cloud teams, right? They've built out teams in parallel to their traditional IT teams so that they can focus on the innovations that are available in that, not even like a cloud team for all clouds. We see customers building out an AWS team, a Google team, you know, and so let's take that same thing. We're trying to build a private cloud in-house with the SDDC as the underlay for that. Let's take that same approach, right? Let's take a team of people. Let's call it the coalition of the willing, people that want to learn things, that want to do innovative things, and let's put them on that path towards building out a true private cloud that's in feature parity with our public cloud provider.
Well, we're right at our last minute here, and so I want to wrap things up. The number six on the list, which we already mentioned verbally, we didn't comment too much on, but I think it's also a statement. It's the need to adapt to the rapid pace of private cloud, because that's, as we started this off, you know, this was set up with the notion that there's a lot of things that have been accomplished, and there's a lot of attractiveness to what can happen in the cloud, but there's a lot of things we need to do on premises, and the idea is to build towards that ability to do this on premises. And this is not about not, you know, doing cloud or not. It's just simply about taking what's the advantages and learning them, and then being able to do that in your own organization. Because at the end of the day, we're all here. Every company has got IT in it. Every company's got some data center, and we all want to implement faster. We need to respond faster. The markets change so quickly. We need to be agile and flexible as we do it. I do want to wrap up, and I'm going to give the final word to our sponsors here, and also just because you guys represent some great knowledge with both your backgrounds. But Robert, let's start with you as our hardware guy. Final word of recommendation before we wrap up this business-oriented episode, and of course sell everybody on the fact they need to come back for the How to Do It episode.
Yeah, very much so. What I would say is get started. If you haven't headed down the path, the bevy of solutions that enable software-defined data center have matured so much in the last 6, 7, 8 years. The bevy of partners, you know, OEMs from Dell, our SI partners like WWT, if you haven't engaged WWT and around the ATC and all the work you've been doing on software defined, tremendous time to get started if you haven't. If you are along the path, start thinking through how this becomes cloud strategy for you, both your private, but also extending who you are in terms of IT services into other resources in the future. It's a fun time to be in IT. It's a fun time to be embracing software defined.
Let me ask you this, Shannon, as a final word. So, first of all, Dell Technologies does an awesome job with convergence, and especially hyperconvergence. And you guys have come a long way in terms of offering this value. And you've also been working closely with both Intel and WWT to build out these capabilities and showcase them within their labs, whether someone can physically be in St. Louis or someone wants to access it remotely. I'm looking forward to getting into the how, because I know it's going to include some of the technologies and going deeper on that. But I'm just curious, last word, recommendations from Dell Technologies and Shannon.
Yeah, I think my thoughts are, you know, very similar. If you haven't already started on the journey, you absolutely need to start investigating it. And I think that the best place to start is with a good partner like WWT. I've seen them work with a lot of customers, and from a consultative standpoint, I think that they'll help to answer most of those 6 points that we just kind of discussed previously. And from there, you know, you have to be able to trust exactly what they're saying. They're, you know, they, along with Dell Technologies, we like to try and be prescriptive. I mentioned earlier that there's no one solution that magically solves all problems. That's why they, as well as Dell Technologies, offer a broad portfolio of solutions. Mm-hmm. And we're the ones that can help an organization understand how to stitch the different solutions together so that instead of creating additional silos with their SDDC or with their multi-cloud strategy, they have the ability to be able to create a common operating model across all of the different stacks, because that common operating model is what's going to lead to the efficiencies, is what's going to lead to the innovation.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's a great way to circle back around on where we are in all of this, which is it's not just about doing one thing, and SDDC is certainly not a product. I don't think there's a line item you're going to find, no matter who your rep is from Worldwide Technology, asking for, well, how much is this? Give me the SKU. It is something that is worth going forward on, and it is something that you can do with the help of people like Worldwide Technology and these technology partners that are here to make all that easier, because you guys have worked together to prove it. Guys, I want to thank you all for your time. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you, especially, of course, to Intel and Dell Technologies for sponsoring this episode as well as the next one. Guys, don't forget that if you don't, at least go to WWT.com and check out some of the resources they have available, from James's papers to others, as well as the labs and the ability to get hands-on and the ability to reach out and talk to a human being like some of these people here on the call to say, how would this work in my situation? These are the things that you could potentially do next, or at the very least, you should sign up, make sure you're going to become aware of the very next episode where we get into the details of exactly how this could be done in your own organization. You've been watching Tech 37, the podcast for technology, education, and collaboration. My name is Rob Boyd. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the next one. Hang on just one more moment. I want to formally recognize two Worldwide Technology partnerships that made today's episode possible. First up, Dell. Determining if SDDC is the right fit for you requires deep exploration from an experienced advisor who can identify the best technologies to support it. Well, WWT has the expertise and industry relationships to help you make that determination, working closely with key infrastructure OEM partners like Dell and VMware. Well, VMware Cloud Foundation on Dell EMC VxRail is an agile and responsive HCI solution that powers SDDC. Together, this jointly engineered solution offers reduced complexity and cost, as well as accelerated development cycles. Learn more about the benefits by downloading their white paper. We'll put a link there below the video. But also Intel. So assembling the world's leading technology partners is key to creating the ideal SDDC solution for your organization. At WWT, our SDDC solutions are based on Intel architecture for the modernized data center. Intel applies advanced capabilities and deep ecosystem partner relationships to deliver transformative scalability through technologies like Intel Xeon Scalable Processors for your most demanding workloads, and machine learning, AI, analytics, and more. Intel Optane Persistent Memory, a new non-volatile memory technology offering data persistence. And Intel Optane SSDs and Intel 3D NAND SSDs to extend high-performance storage. With Intel technologies at the heart of nearly every solution WWT architects, we're helping to turn ideas into outcomes. So thank you to Dell and Intel. We're going to get more into their technologies and how they work with SDDC in our part 2 episode coming up soon. Stay tuned.